upcoming year. Right. So that if we wanted to translate the meaning of Laylatul Qadr based on the actions that we are required to do during that night, mean, including the du'as, prayers, supplications.
Keeping vigil.
Yes, because you want to comprehend that very moment in which your prayer will be fulfilled or in which the Quran has been revealed based on the verses that we have in the Quran. We have many verses in the Quran referring to this point that Quran itself has been revealed in night of Qadr. First of all, we have the verse in the Quran saying that Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. In another verse, we have inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. And in the third verse, we have at the beginning of the Surah Al-Qadr, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr, meaning that this night of Qadr must be during the month of Ramadan, and from one of those nights, if we want to take the common view based on Shia and Sunnah brothers, so we have to say for the last 10 nights, of the Ramadan, as we have the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that for the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he would actually put away his mat for the sleeping. Meaning that for those, for those nights, he wouldn't sleep.
That's right. 23rd of Ramadan among the Shiites and 27th of Ramadan among the Sunni brethren are more emphasized as Laylatul Qadr. But regardless of which timing Shaykh Nur Muhammad is Laylatul Qadr, I mean, what is the significance of this night for Muslims and for all the believing Muslims around the world? What to do and what not to do during these nights?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, the nights of Qadr is the heart of the holy month of Ramadan.
Very good.
You know, from the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, we should start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are fasting. Try to focus and to always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to whisper to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recitation of Noble Quran as regular. In any mosque or any center you go, you see many people reciting the verses of Noble Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very unique time, actually, for all Muslims, especially, trying to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Him as much as possible. For example, in one narration we have from Noble Prophet Muhammad, he said that Al-amalu salih fiha khayrun min al-amal fi alf shahr. If you have the righteous action in the nights of Qadr or destination, is actually much better than having any action in a thousand months. You know? So, beginning from the month of holy month of Ramadan, you always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. And gradually when you reach to the nights of Qadr, you increase your worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And try to be meticulous about your actions, your behavior, and even about your thinking. Try to always focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to have this actually to create a spiritual atmosphere for yourself and your family, for your family members, because maybe it's your last time and last opportunity for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
Ya Laylat al-Qadr, ya Fawr barina, khayrun min al-dahr, bil'afwi tatina. Ya Laylat al-Qadr, فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن للناس بالفرقان يا ليلة
القادر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا. And Sheikh Mahtavi, some people might say that this Laylatul Qadr was only limited to that timing at the time of Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, the Holy Quran was revealed to him on a specific Laylatul Qadr in blah blah year, okay? Mm-hmm. So is it still significant for you because timing have passed and you know it might lose its significance? Is it the same Laylatul Qadr that was Quran revealed to Prophet Muhammad or not?
If I get your point properly, I think, let me just repeat it. If it is okay, I continue. If you mean that, okay, Quran has been revealed on that very night.
Yes.
Long away.
Away time.
So, okay, what's the significance of keeping vigil these nights, I mean the Ramadan that we are. Okay, if this is the question, I think we can go for Quran and refer to Quran and see how Quran tells us about this actually question. You know, in the following verses of the Surah Al-Qadr, it says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنَ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرَ. That is actually the verb that you have at the beginning of this verse. It comes in the present tense. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the past tense. Okay? So, meaning that every night of Qadr, this will happen. Uh-huh. Which thing will happen? This coming down of all angels, including angel Ruh.
Yes.
Okay? So, if such a thing happens, it happens because of that spiritual thing that happened at that time. We do not believe that Quran only had one aspect, which was this worldly and material aspect regarding the Quran, that we can see these writings of the Quran. It was revealed upon the Prophet, and that's done over. Okay? We have nothing to do with that.
Yes.
No, that spirit that will happen, that very close relationship of this world and the spiritual world must be connected. And during that night, this relationship will be strengthened, if you wanted to say it in a very actually normal or in a very simple language. So that actually connection will take place during that night based on this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse of Quran, which says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. And then, سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ, till the dawn.
Yes.
So even in the verse itself, it says that that communication of the angels and spiritual world with our worldly thing keep continuing up until dawn.
Yes.
So, because of that, we keep vigil, we do not sleep, we pray, because we know that we want to take our advantage during this close connection and going and coming of the angels, or this close relationship, of the spiritual world with our world.
Yes. Even religious gatherings and discussions are recommended during these nights. I mean, question and answers, sitting down with an alim, you know, asking your questions and get the answers from that side. Even these are some of the recommendations. Besides all these worshipping actions, reading du'as or we can say supplications and worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplation and pondering on the heart and base of the Quran and the religious beliefs are also very much recommended during these nights. But Shaykh Nur Muhammad, what about other recommended actions during these nights, Laylatul Qadr?
Very beautiful narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He said that إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ فَأَجْهِدُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. He said that from the beginning of the month of holy month of Ramadan, try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to do your best in worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that because of the significance of the holy month of Ramadan, we should, according to Imam al-Sadiq, we should do our best worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to separate actually from other material things about thinking about this world and try to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam said that وَفِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ عَلْعَمَلُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْعَمَلِ فِي أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. If you have your best action and your best worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Laylatul Qadr is actually much better than having any other action in 1,000 months. So You know, it can be righteous action, it can be forgiving, for generosity,
yes,
for the needy people, try to be away from committing any error or mistake, and try to always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to whatever righteous action possible, try to do it for other fellow human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim.
That's all right. Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, your final remarks regarding Laylatul Qadr.
Allah, since we are approaching the nights of power and the nights of destiny, we ask all of our dear brothers and sisters to keep us in their du'as, and also we pray for them because of the significance of this night that is not going to happen after this Ramadan. Mm-hmm. The most important thing to be asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking forgiveness. As we see in all of the du'as of Shahr Ramadan, we have this forgiveness. Forgiveness, yes, forgiveness, and to be freed from the hellfire, inshallah, because of the dhunub and sins that mistakenly or willingly, sometimes, God forbid, we commit. We are really in need of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which time is much better than this blessed time of Laylatul Qadr.
That's right. چه مبارک سحری بود و چه فرخنده شبی آن شب قدر که آن تازه براتم دادن. You know, the Laylatul Qadr has also been so much significant that even in the most outstanding poems of the outstanding Persian poets has been repeated very much by Hafez, Molavi, and also Saadi in most of them. And as you said, understanding the significance, and it's better to say the preciousness of this night, is also very much important, because you might miss it. It is not going to be repeated, you know, during the other nights of the year. This is a chance, an opportunity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special chance given to the Muslims. We are invited to the holy months of Allah and to the holy night. Okay.
And I think it's good to have this very quick reference to this story of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, that during those nights she would keep the children also awake.
Uh-huh.
It's very nice that she was splashing drops of water on the face of the children to keep them vigil, only for these nights to train them that, okay, yes, these are a very, very special times, actually for Hassanain when they were kids. So it means that doesn't matter if we are adult or kids,
yes,
or children.
Okay.
Destiny is destiny for,
yes,
them or for adults.
Okay.
So they taught us these things that we, okay, have to follow their teachings, inshallah, doing these things,
inshallah,
for our family as well.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding the significance of Laylatul Qadr. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Do not forget us in your du'as and supplications during Laylatul Qadr. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
إلهي قد تراكمت الذنوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب لعفوك يا محب.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa man yarjuka rabbi la yakhibu. Ilahi, 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 ilahi.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
The Zionist regime is building infrastructure to carve up Gaza, prevent the return of displaced Palestinians, and change the geographical and demographic facts on the ground. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Middle East Eye wrote, Netanyahu's threats to storm Rafah and the Philadelphia corridor are likely a negotiation tactic to pressure and blackmail resistance groups and Egypt. Nonetheless, Israeli analysts insist that the Zionist regime's real strategic interests lie in northern Gaza and that a confrontation with Egypt may trigger a strategic dilemma. What this means is that there is no option for considering a comprehensive resolution to the war, but only for partial and temporary deals after which the war will continue, and where the Zionist regime does not withdraw and the displaced families do not return. At best, any discussion about the return of displaced people in Gaza will be insignificant and will not result in their actual return. In fact, before any ceasefire, the Zionist regime will have completed its system of control and cemented its colonial presence in Gaza. In other words, the Zionist regime is not carrying out a military campaign that will end with the end of this war. Palestinians and Arabs are too focused on negotiations or ceasefire talks and the Zionist regime's obstruction tactics. This results in a round-the-clock rush after details that constitute a series of distractions, while the Zionist regime's actions on the ground clearly reveal a return to its total occupation of Gaza and destruction as a single geographical unit for its people. The international community's fixation on humanitarian aid, while ignoring Israel's long-term plans, will further result in Palestinians' indefinite displacement. Another issue pertains to the floating dock proposal, which the White House claims will be used to deliver 2 million meals a day to Gaza. According to this plan, the Zionist regime is to take control of the security of the makeshift port in partnership with the U.S. military, which is not to enter Gaza. Yet, Netanyahu has recently stated that this dock could help deport Palestinians from Gaza and through which Israel may carry out their mass expulsion. It is also worth mentioning that the wide road that the Zionist regime army is building from the southeast of Gaza City to the sea is geographically consistent with the proposal made by the Zionist regime foreign minister Israel Katz to EU leaders regarding the forced displacement of Palestinians to an artificial island. Moreover, the constant focus on northern Gaza as its own region suggests an international recognition that northern Gaza has become separated from the south. By establishing separate aid distribution structures for the north and south to be managed by the Zionist regime, the international community is ensuring Israel's continued presence and occupation of Gaza. It also means American humanitarian aid may become an extension of the Israeli occupation and its mechanisms of control over Gaza. This project was formed against the backdrop of supporters of Netanyahu government preventing the entry of aid into Gaza through Karam Abu Salem border crossing. A Additionally, the political discourse within the Palestinian factions is unrealistic and treats the situation as if conditions were the same as those before October 7th and have not drastically changed. They claim that Palestinians must simply overcome their divisions, even as the Gaza Valley has become a border restricting the movement of Palestinians in Gaza, akin to the apartheid wall in the West Bank. The apartheid wall has drastically changed the political and geographic features of the population in the West Bank. It was constructed on the ruins of the Palestinian urban presence and a population that was forcibly displaced and blocked from the ever returning. In carrying out its plans in Gaza, particularly in the north, the fabricated regime of Israel is securing its lasting occupation of Gaza. Palestinians and Arabs, as well as the international community, should focus their attention on the drastic changes to the geographic and demographic facts on the ground. There needs to be direct Arab pressure on the United States regime to force the Israeli regime to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza through its land borders and not succumb to Israeli government's conditions, as Gaza remains a Palestinian, not an Israeli area. They must further take a firm stance and launch a massive campaign to pressure the Biden administration to stop supplying the Zionist regime with military aid and weapons used to eradicate all elements of basic life in Gaza, while providing inadequate humanitarian assistance, which in fact lacks any humanity. Such outside pressure is necessary, as the Netanyahu government and the opposition alike are blocking all the steps toward a political solution. Meanwhile, as they solidify their occupation in Gaza, they are systematically starving the Palestinian population and committing grave acts that amount to war crimes and deadly acts of genocide, the consequences of which may be more dire than the daily bombings of the city and its people.
Gaza is now an open graveyard with a humanitarian situation that is beyond desperate. This, according to officials in the region. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being with us again. I'm Amina Taylor, and as always, let's kick this edition of Gaza Under Attack off with a quick review of the latest developments. Dozens of Palestinians have been killed in Israeli strikes in the past 24 hours, according to Gaza's health ministry. This as Israel intensifies the bombardment in the south of the besieged enclave ahead of a threatened full-scale attack on Rafah by occupation forces. Tel Aviv has reacted bitterly to the United Nations Security Council issuing its first demand for a ceasefire in Gaza. The U.S. came in for special criticism after Israel's longtime ally abstained during the vote. Israel cancelled the planned visit of a high-level delegation to Washington in retaliation. In an escalation along the border, seven Lebanese and an Israeli were killed in an exchange of fire. Hezbollah says it's launched dozens of rocket strikes in retaliation to Israeli aggression. Now the leader of resistance group Hamas's Ismail Haniyeh said that Israel has failed to achieve all of its strategic and military goals in the ongoing war in Gaza. Haniyeh, in a visit to the Islamic Republic of Iran, made the comments at a news conference in Tehran after meeting the country's foreign minister. In the UK, parliamentarians in pairs have signed a letter urging London to ban arms sales to Israel. This as Britain faces legal action over its decision to pause funding for aid body UNRWA. Since October last year, the death toll in the U.S.-Israeli genocide on Gaza has topped 32,000, with tens of thousands missing and wounded. With us for this edition of the program, in the studio alongside myself, the journalist and broadcaster Ted Kofi, and with us via Skype from Johannesburg in South Africa, Tshetso Magama. Tshetso is a longtime political activist, and he served in various roles within the African National Congress, the ANC, as well as leading other grassroots movements in South Africa. And he joins us in his capacity as the spokesperson for Africa for Palestine. Welcome to you both. Tet, it seems a real shame every time you are here, and those moments have lasted perhaps longer than anyone of us would like in this capacity. The sheer numbers killed, the sheer brutality. Just bring us up to speed with your reaction.
Well, the longer the thing goes, the more clear it becomes that turning the Gaza crisis around is like turning an oil tanker. You spin the wheel and it'll take a long time for the ship to take traction. But it's gathering momentum all the time. What looks like something that will never stop is actually on its way to cessation. I'm sure about that.
And your own thought, Tshetso, I mean, we mentioned the horrifying statistics there, 32,000 plus killed, 75,000 plus wounded. Just your musings on the scale of this genocidal war on Gaza.
The scale is horrifying. And it's, you know, it's something that we haven't hitherto seen, at least for the past 20 years. You know, excluding, of course, you know, what we've seen in Syria not so long ago. But the fundamental difference this time around is that these atrocities, this genocide and an ethnic cleansing is literally taking place on our phones and laptops and televisions. This is unprecedented. And so I think, you know, we have reached in many ways a crossroads to perhaps really as a, not as part of a cliche, but this is really a crossroads because very few people today, you know, have the luxury of denying what many of us have been saying for decades, that there is an ethnic cleansing that has been happening. There is a genocide in various iterations. Of course, nothing that we have seen, you know, thus far. And it's horrifying. But I think what is even more horrifying is the extent to which, you know, leaders in the West have met these atrocities with the kind of apathy that we have seen. Perhaps even more shocking than the babies and women and the elderly and an entire population and, you know, erased from the face of the earth. And so this is one of those unspeakable crimes that I think history will not forgive humanity, you know, for allowing them to continue and continue for such a long time.
Indeed, and just stay with me here, Tshetso, because we see Israel in near global isolation after the U.S. dropped its veto position and abstained during that E10 vote, ensuring that, of course, the other council members would vote in favor of that ceasefire. And we're going to go deeper into this element, but what was your reaction to that almost poetic moment when it was clear, almost visually, that America was saying, listen, we can't continue to support this much longer?
It's not a testament to the U.S. administration, to the Biden administration. It's really a testament to the struggles of the international community, especially the Global South, and indeed the citizens of the Global North, who have been pushing the United States and their governments in the West to, you know, take a step back and review their policy in regard to this ongoing genocide. So really, I think this is the one moment that should give hope to all of us that, you know, with united and consistent action, we will eventually prevail. And so in that context, the Palestinian struggle, you know, in broadly, strategically, will also prevail, not on the basis of the a change of heart in the hearts of self-declared Zionists like Joe Biden, the Democratic Party in the U.S. and the Republicans. But really, it's going to be a struggle. As the late President Augustino Neto said, the Angolan poet president, he said, no regime can press over the hot lid of a boiling pot forever. And I think we have seen a culmination of that moment.
Indeed. Tet, I'm going to get you to wade in on this after we hear from the Palestinian delegation here, because the dust continues to settle on the move by the UN Security Council to approve a resolution on Gaza demanding an immediate ceasefire and the immediate and unconditional release of all captives. Now, the 10 non-permanent members, the E10 proposed draft, was adopted in a vote, as I mentioned earlier, of 14 in favor and one abstention, that of the United States. The Palestinian permanent representative to the UN gave his reaction after previous ceasefire motions were killed by the US using its veto power.
When such atrocities are being committed in broad daylight against defenseless civilians, including women and children, the right thing to do, the only thing to do morally, legally, politically, is to put an end to it. There can be no justification for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. Accepting any justification for such crimes is renouncing our humanity and destroying the rule of international law beyond repair. This must be a turning point. This must lead to saving lives on the ground. This must signal the end of this assault of atrocities against our people. A nation is being murdered. A nation is being dispossessed. A nation is being displaced for decades now, but never at this scale since the Nakba.
The Palestinian delegate there, Riyad Mansour, and Tel Aviv did not react well to this. In fact, Netanyahu, just let me get this quote correct, said the U.S. has abandoned its policy at the United Nations and that this move would harm the war efforts and peace talks. Do you think Netanyahu's overplayed his hand slightly here?
I don't think he has, because the whole thing is theater. I think that everybody knows and understands that the U.S. and the Israeli government under Netanyahu are very close to each other. They are allies. In fact, what is really demonstrative is the fact that by an act of omission, the United States underscored its allyship with the government of Israel when everybody else said it's time for a ceasefire. So, again, this plays to the notion that they don't seem to be reading the fact that people in the global south have seen this for a long time, but now slowly people in the global north are coming to recognize the depth of the relationship their individual countries, and of course the United States, has with the state of Israel. And it is with the growth of this understanding, especially given the context, that actually our lives in the global north aren't as good as they used to be before. We're all going through a cost of living crisis. Some countries are having terrible shocks with food prices and access to fuel and so on. What this does is that it makes people more empathetic to the suffering of other people. And I don't think that the governments of the United States and many of these countries yet realize how much empathy their people are beginning to buy into what's going on.
Ted Kofi and Tsetso Magama were my special guests, and our thanks to them and, of course, to you for being with us. And until next time, continue to keep Palestine in your hearts.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum and very welcome to a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. You're listening to us from Iran.
Tears scream and voices
on Saturday, 19th of the month of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today is 19th of Ramadan, or night of attack on Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
His last salat Ali led. Ali was struck on the head. We all shall miss you, oh Haider. We all shall miss you. After he rose from sajda, Ali was stuck in Kufa. We all shall miss you, oh Haider. We all shall miss you. Warrior of Khaybar, our leader Haida.
On the 19th of Ramadan of the year 4D AH, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, came to the mosque in Kufa for his morning prayers. Imam Ali gave the call for prayer, or Adhan, and became engaged in leading the congregation. Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, pretending to pray, stood just behind the Imam. And when Imam Ali was in a state of prostration, dealt a heavy stroke with his sword, inflicting a deep wound on Imam Ali's head. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, had prophesied the assassination of Imam Ali and his issues. Regarding Imam Ali, he had said, O Ali, I see before my eyes thy bird died with the blood of thy forehead. they assassinated Imam Ali, peace be upon him, at his finest time, the hour of standing before Allah, the Exalted, during a prayer of submission in the best of days, while fasting during the month of Ramadan, during the most glorious Islamic duties, while preparing to wage jihad, and in the highest and most pure divine places, the Mosque of Kufa. May joy be to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and a blessed afterlife. Dear brothers and sisters, we offer our condolences on the coming of anniversary of Imam Ali's martyrdom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Due to the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we are trying to talk about Imam, how Imam sees martyrdom, and how has Imam alayhi salam described his affection towards martyrdom. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in part of his will, referring to his affection towards martyrdom and death, he says, "I swear by Allah, no sudden sign of death has come to me that I have been displeased with, and no forwarding of it has appeared that I have found ugly. I am towards death like one who, searching for water and for water at night, suddenly finds it amidst the darkness, or like one who suddenly finds a lost precious belonging, because I believe that what is with Allah in the hereafter is better for the righteous." Imam, in his will, as a part of his will, in letter 23 of Nahjul Balagha, the Peak of Eloquence, expresses his stance towards death and martyrdom, something that is reflected in other parts of Nahjul Balagha as well, which is that not only do I not fear death, but I am passionately in love with a death that is for the sake of Allah and for Allah himself. He says, "I swear by Allah, no sudden sign of death has come to me that I have been displeased with, and no forwarding of it has appeared that I have found ugly. I'm towards death like one searching for water at night, suddenly finds it amidst the darkness, or like one who suddenly finds a lost precious belonging, that what is with Allah in the hereafter is better for the righteous."
وكان من صفات أمير المؤمنين سلام الله عليه أنه يقرأ القرآن في كل ليلة، يقرأ القرآن في آناء الليل وأطراف النهار، قائما ليله
عليا تبثنا علي طالبتنا علي
أنه يقرأ القرآن، أنه يقرأ القرآن
كل البشر في ابدالك العلم، علي كل البشر في ابدالك العلم، علي فارقتنا علي.
The crime of assassinating Imam Ali remains one of the most cruel, brutal, and hideous, because it was not committed against one man, but against the whole rational Islamic leadership. By assassinating Imam Ali, they actually aimed at assassinating the message, the history, the culture, and the nation of Muslims embodied in the person of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. In doing so, the Islamic nation lost its guide of progress and at the most wondrous opportunity in its life after the Holy Prophet. Imam Ali suffered from his wound for 3 days, and he passed away on 21st of the month of Ramadan at an age of 63 years. During these 3 days, he entrusted his son, Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, with the imamate of guiding the nation ideologically and socially. During those 3 days, as during all his life, he never ceased remembering Allah, praising him and accepting him and his ordinance. Likewise, he continued giving pieces of advice, leading to good, pointing to the right, defining the way to guidance, explaining the course for deliverance, calling for the obedience of Allah's ordinances, and warning against following one's ill desires and setbacks from not carrying out the divine message. Dear brothers and sisters, true followers of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we express our condolences on the coming days of his martyrdom, the martyrdom of one of the biggest men in the history.
A brave man was Ali, the lion of God Ali. He was Khayru Ali, he was Mawla Ali, he was Mawla Ali. Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Mawla Ali.
Tonight we shall shed a tear for a man who's so dear. He'd been struck so severe. His Lord, he went with no fear. His Lord, he went with no fear.
A brave man was Ali, the lion of God Ali.
The last will of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. In this part, we'll listen to the last will of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. My advice to you is to be conscious of Allah and steadfast in your religion. Do not yearn for the world, and do not be seduced by it. Do not resent anything you have missed in it. Proclaim the truth. Work for the next world, opposite the oppressor and support the oppressed. I advise you and all my children, my relatives, and whosoever receives this message to be conscious of Allah, to remove your differences and to strengthen your ties. I heard your grandfather, peace be upon him, say, reconciliation of your differences is more worthy than all prayers and all fasting. Fear Allah in matters concerning orphans. Attend to their nutrition and do not forget their interests in the middle of yours. Fear Allah in your relations with your neighbors. Your Prophet often recommended them to you, so much so that we thought he would give them a share in inheritance. Remain attached to the Quran. Nobody should suppress you in being intent on it, or more sincere, implementing it.
It was the 19th night of the month of Ramadan. Imam Ali alayhi salam felt the affliction of the calamity that night. He was overwhelmed by grief and sorrow. He repeated these words, "By Allah, I have not lied nor have I been lied to. It is the night which I have been promised." Lady Umm Kulthum, his daughter, is reported to have said, "At the 19th night of Ramadan, I served my father with a plate that contained 2 loaves of barley bread, a bowl of milk, and a quantity of crushed salt. When he finished his prayer, he sat down to break his fast. When he saw what I had served him, he nodded his head, wept and said to me, 'Oh my daughter, I will not eat anything before you remove one of these 2 foods. When I did, my father ate 1 loaf of barley bread with some salt. He then praised and thanked Allah the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, he engaged himself in prayer once again. He kept on offering prayers and beseeching Allah the Almighty continuously. He would constantly come out of the house. Whilst looking at the sky, he knew something was about to happen. He then recited the entire Surah Yasin. Imam Ali alayhi salam then slept for a few moments and woke up hurriedly, shaken. He wiped his face with his dress, stood up on his feet and prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, bless our journey of death. O Allah, bless our meeting with you. He would then often repeat the statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim.
فزت ورب الكعبة
Today is 19th of Ramadan, so please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Please keep us in your dua and supplication, and have a nice time.
Today is the death of my Imam. Because of this, I will not become. Today is the death of my Imam. Because of this, I will not become. When I am crying, my soul is shouting. Today is the death of my Imam. Today is the death of my Imam.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Scores more Palestinians are killed in Israel's indiscriminate strikes across Gaza, as the total death toll from regime genocidal war tops 32,600. Israeli forces carry out fresh raids across the occupied West Bank, leaving a teenager dead and several other young Palestinians injured.